The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A graphic novel, a TV show. Well, it's not TV, it's HBO. And will this thing succeed? And by how much, man? And some might cheer and some might scoff, because it's Damon Lindelof. But either way, we're off to watch some Watchmen. Watching Watchmen, talking Watchmen, analyzing Watchmen, and maybe arguing over Watchmen.
Who watches the Watchmen? You watch Watchmen, and we watch you watching Watchmen while you watch us, and we watch you, and it's like a round circle of watching. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin. Thanks. Giving.
That is creepy, man. I'm Pete.
And this is a special Thanksgiving bonus episode of Watchmen Watch. We're going to be talking about what happened, all the runoff is probably the grossest way I could describe it, of extraordinary being, the last episode of Watchmen. We're going to talk about a bunch of other things happening in the world of Watchmen, what's been going on PDpedia, take a look forward at the episode 7 promo, and talk about some of your tweets and questions, both from Twitter and from our Patreon Slack. If you want to join the Patreon Slack, there's been some healthy discussions about Watchmen going on there. Patreon.com/comicbookclub, as low as $2 a month. Would love to see you there. Come hang out. We'll talk about Watchmen, even though we're in the middle of having some turkey and stuffing with all of the fixins.
Oh, yeah. I'm stuffed full of quality programming every time I turn on an episode of Watchmen.
Yeah. Ooh. Now, before we get into it, as we always do on our bonus podcast, I'm going to apologize about a couple of things that we got wrong. First of all, Pete got something wrong. There was, of course you did. There was the name of Will Reeves' wife, who I don't remember exactly. Oh, you said it was Angela, and then we made fun of you. We were like, haha, don't be an idiot, it's not Angela. And I said, no, it's not Angela, it's Sally. And then we kind of went from there, called her Sally multiple times over the course of the episode. Her name's not Sally.
That was also wrong.
Yes,
that was not my fault. I was also wrong.
Yes, yeah. There were several people that
were
wrong.
At least I didn't think it was Sally.
Yes.
We're not pointing any fingers here, Pete, but you were wrong.
No, that's...
Yes. All I'm saying is, you use the name of the main character of the show, Angela Abar, and I use the name of the character, Sally Jupiter, who so far hasn't really appeared in the show that much. So I'm less wrong than you were wrong. Justin, you were the least wrong at all, so you have won this round of apologies.
Yeah, I always win at apologies because I don't do them.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that we didn't exactly get wrong, but we weren't able to pinpoint, was the title of the episode, This Extraordinary Being. This actually comes from Hollis Mason's description of Hooded Justice in Under the Hood.
I knew it was from the comic, though. I had a flash of it, and I just couldn't place it.
Yeah, so you totally got that right. You had mentioned that it was about Dr. Manhattan. It's not about Dr. Manhattan. Of course, it's about Hooded Justice. And he describes him as this extraordinary being that came out of nowhere when he first talks about Hooded Justice popping up on the scene. So, of course, that makes a lot of sense. We also obviously talked about the deeper meanings of the title in terms of how it refers to Will Reeves, et cetera, et cetera. So we nailed that. I think we're real good about that.
Yeah, we nailed it like the TV show nailed it, where we didn't do a great job of making it right, but it approximated enough to make fun of it.
Yes. Now, as we continue
through our whole shtick, man, the gross,
gritty runoff of this last episode of the show.
Stop saying that.
What? Should I say splooge?
No.
Oh. Okay. Discharge.
The joy that you said that word is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Close your pornography thesaurus, Alex, and let's get down to business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's get down to business. What were we talking about? Oh, right. There's been a lot of great writing about this episode in particular. I mean, I think people have been doing a fantastic job of writing about Watchmen in general, but this episode really brought everybody out, both in terms of recaps, deep dives, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of great stuff going on out there. One article that I thought was kind of fascinating in particular for us to talk about, this is another thing that we got wrong. We're calling the racist character that Will Reeves track down Red. It turns out his name wasn't actually Red. It's Fred. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe I just misheard you guys.
No. I said Fred, but then he said Red, and I was like, oh, I'm probably wrong, and he's probably right. So I stopped pushing it.
Well, you know what? Always go right, said Fred. That's how you remember that name. Yeah. There is an article that I noticed on Vox, and I don't know if anybody else wrote this up, but the title of the post, which will probably tee you up into what's exactly going on, is "It sure seems like Watchmen turned Donald Trump's father into one of its racist villains." Now, the character is named Fred. Donald Trump's father is named Fred Trump. Fred Trump owned the first grocery store in Queens, which is the same thing the character does in Watchmen. And the name of the character's grocery store, or I guess his factory, is FT and Sons, which certainly indicates it's Fred Trump and Sons. And in fact, one of the writers, I believe, of Watchmen tweeted something like, hey, you might want to look up who owned the first grocery store in Queens. So they're being pretty straight up about it without actually saying it. What do you think about this? What do you think about obliquely working in the Trump family into this episode in particular?
I love it for multiple reasons. One, it tracks with my politics, so very down with that. Two, like, the original Watchmen comic was irreverent in that way, and it made subtle political points while at the same time telling a superhero story. And I think it's great that they did that in a way that sort of allowed it to be such a subtle thing, something that you had to dig and find and enjoy all the more.
Yeah, the comic definitely had presidents, and it was president heavy. So,
I love a president heavy book.
It feels more seditious in a certain way because it's happening right now, and because they are not explicitly putting it out there. I actually appreciate them not explicitly putting it out there, not because I don't think you shouldn't go for Trump, but because whenever I see him in a TV show at this point, it takes me out of it. You know, like, I don't know if you guys watch Mr. Robot, which I absolutely love. It's a wonderful show. But in the third season, I want to say, it took place where they had footage of Trump giving speeches and talking about stuff. And I don't know. It just takes me out of the fiction of the show in a very big way, because that's what we live in the world every day. But to bring in Fred Trump and to not explicitly talk about it and allow you to find it seems a much smarter way to actually work it into that fiction. You know?
Totally agree.
I feel similar. When they use the real, like, Grand Army Plaza instead of, like, a fake one, I get like, oh, I'm going to be late for work, and I kind of do that. So, like, I like when they use the fake one.
Yeah, it's a very similar thing between Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn and the President of the United States.
Both are triggering.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have different triggers, and, you know.
Yeah. Is it because you think, it's because you're late for work. I was going to say maybe it's because of the second of the Knuffle Bunny books, when they have to do a midnight meeting and exchange the Knuffle Bunnies at Grand Army Plaza.
Dude, you're a creepy, creepy man.
What are you even talking about?
Parents out there, you guys know what I'm talking about, y'all. Right? Knuffle Buddy?
We don't read that in my house. I read my daughter's Watchmen, the comic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Let's move on and talk about some other stuff in the world of Watchmen, specifically PDpedia. So the latest PDpedia has some very interesting documents on it. I really enjoyed this one in particular. There's three documents that they put up. You can check it out at hbo.com/pdpedia. And this is supposed to be Agent Petey's secret files that he's putting out there. We'll talk about the official Watchmen podcast in a second, but they actually did a big plug for PDPD in the middle and specifically said, yeah, this is supposed to be the back matter that we didn't actually put in the show. The first one is from Lori Blake. It's a memo and it's titled "What Has One Eye and Loves Evil Plans." There's a couple of great things that happened here. The first thing is Agent Petey for the past couple of weeks has been not so slyly referencing Lori Blake and sending these memos and these digs at her and saying, well, of course she's never going to read these memos. And in this memo that she sends out to the FBI, she says, "Hey, Petey, I sit next to you every day. Yes, I read all your memos. If you have something to say to me, just come talk to me." And yeah. I love that. I love getting a glimpse of this relationship outside of the show.
Yeah, these PDPD entries, especially the Lori Blake one, does such a great job of capturing her voice with this back matter. It's super fun. And to your point, like a lot of interesting little reveals in these.
One of the bigger reveals of it is that while Angela Abar is going on this nostalgia-fueled trip through her grandfather's memories, at the same time, Lori on the outside is actually recording it. We don't get to see what's going on with Angela because we're in the fever state with her, but it sounds like she's been talking, and in particular what piques Lori's interest is the word Cyclops, which she hears, I believe she says, 50 times.
Yeah, no less than 50 everything. Times.
And it's interesting, this, again, I'm jumping ahead to talk about the podcast a little bit, but the official Watchmen podcast is a conversation. It's an hour-long conversation between Craig Mazin and Damon Lindelof. And an interesting thing that they talk about that I thought describes perfectly what is happening in the show is non-exposition. And they were specifically using that to refer to the sequence where Adrian Veidt is taking the newborn Crookshanks and Phillips from their clone bath to the house when they can't talk yet. And he's describing to them and saying, well, you're newly born and you don't know how to talk yet, but soon you will. And I'm the master of the house. And he's laying all this stuff out. And the way that they explain it is this is information that these characters need to know. So it is exposition, but it's purposeful. It's not just a character sitting down and saying that stuff. And I think that's kind of the same thing we get here between Angela and Lori, even though we don't actually get to see it on screen.
Yeah, they bury the exposition in a scene, and it's so smart and so simple that it makes us enjoy it so much more without feeling like, ugh, I'm being lectured.
Yeah. Was there anything else before we move on to the next one? Anything else you wanted to mention about what has one eye and loves evil plans?
Well, there's the thing of go and get Mirror Guy. Like, there's some outside of the episode stuff that's happening concurrent with the episode, which I thought I'm excited to see where it pays off, where she sends Petey to go get Mirror Guy, who last time we saw him was about to be murdered. So
yes,
that ratcheted that tension up reading this. Yeah.
Yeah. And we are heading into, at this point, the final three episodes of the show. So things should be getting pretty big and apocalyptic at this point, I think. The second one, also fascinating, particularly given this episode, is the will of Nelson Gardner. Now, Nelson Gardner is Captain Metropolis. And the way this plays out, there is, if I remember correctly, there's a note from Petey beforehand to contextualize it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's the handwritten will of Nelson Gardner. And the thing that I thought was fascinating about this, so he left Will Reeves his house. There's a couple of things in there. First of all, it seems like whatever was going on with Will and Nelson Gardner in the period where we got to see, it seems like they split and Nelson regrets whatever went on with them.
Yeah.
Does that seem fair?
Yeah, 100%. That his will is all about almost forcing Will to take his fortune and how he wants to be cremated and his ashes thrown in the garbage, basically, which is that's a baller choice. Spread my ashes in Fresh Kills, Staten Island.
Where do you want to be? Where do you want your ashes to be, Pete? in a Subway sandwich?
No, man, definitely not.
When I die, make me into some nice meatballs.
How about you, Salbs?
I just said it. Make me into some nice meatballs.
And you know that Subway makes the best meatballs. Yeah, why don't I want my ashes spread into a microphone, a podcasting microphone.
Specifically, I want to be made into meatballs, and then, Pete, I want you to eat me.
Oh, my God. No, man.
I'm not gonna eat you. It's my dying wish. It's my dying wish.
Sorry, buddy.
You got to Pete, it's a dying wish. You have to fulfill those.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. You're dead. Last request.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to go to debtor's prison.
Cool.
There's a couple of other details that are kind of fascinating here, and otherwise it's a very emotional thing that he sets out. We also find out that, which I don't think is in any of the Watchmen back matter, but Nelson Gardner died in a car crash and they never found his head.
Yeah. It's a very pointed detail. It makes me think maybe we will see his head, but I don't know why. Why would we see his head?
Yeah, I don't know. This is like sort of a side thing, but like we've seen so many things come back on this show already. You know, Will Reeves has survived for what, over 105 years at this point. I don't know if we're going to enter into Futurama territory where there's going to be heads in jars or anything like that. But maybe something went on there. Maybe it's a whole Walt Disney frozen head type thing or something. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, and this is a bit of a side note, but HBO on their Twitter account put up the Minutemen picture with the actors playing the Minutemen in the episode, which, as you noted, Justin, it's very blurry in the episode. You can't see exactly what's going on. But they did the classic Minutemen picture with the same pose from Watchmen, the comic book. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to see all of them again, but maybe there'll be a bunch of heads somewhere.
I feel like the head thing is just that old saying where it's like, if this thing wasn't attached, I would, forget it. You know, probably just someone forget their head somewhere, you know? Mm.
Do you think maybe somebody took off the yellow ribbon around his neck?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
all great references. I also think it could be something that doesn't apply directly to the plot of the show, but maybe it's referencing a famous story of like a Hollywood actor or someone who died this way. I also wouldn't put it past to be just like sort of a red herring, interesting detail to throw in and like, oh, yeah, they didn't find his head. Bye.
Well, let's talk talking about red herrings. Let's move on to the third one.
Alex, they're pronounced Fred herrings.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong.
We'll
apologize on the next bonus podcast for that one. Lady True, fact or fiction? This is a gossip column in the local Tulsa paper. They don't interview Lady True, but they do call up her official PR rep and lay out a bunch of fact and fiction notes, gossip column style, about Lady True. There's so many great things in here, but the reason I brought up in terms of red herrings is it feels like every single thing in here is not a clue so much as the opposite of a clue, you know?
What? Yeah. They feel like random trails to send people off onto.
Right. Like, one thing that they talk about is Lady True's father, I believe, right? And whether he was Eddie Blake, which is something that we've speculated about. So it almost feels like putting it out there and being like, ooh, was her father Eddie Blake? She says it wasn't, but maybe it was. I don't know. Feels very specifically like, no, it 100% is not Eddie Blake under any circumstance.
I was just going to say, this is just a classic takedown piece. You know, I mean, this is all hearsay. This is not journalism.
Wow. From one journalist to another. Takedown. You taking down J.J. Whitman? From the talk of Tulsa and the Star Sentinel?
Man.
That's the Maggie Haberman of this universe.
What's your gossip column called again, Pete? Pete Seat?
It's called Scoops.
Scoops?
Scoops.
You should call it Pete Seat. That would be fun. Like, here's the view from Pete Seat.
Ooh, that's good. But they call you Scoops the Page because you used to work at a Baskin Robbins, though, right? You had all the gossip at the Baskin Robbins.
Ooh, yep. Okay. You know what? I changed my mind. Pete, when I die, churn me into ice cream and then eat it.
No.
You gotta eat Alex. You no. gotta eat Alex, Pete. Yeah. It's not his dying request.
You gotta try it.
It's his dying request.
Yeah. I bet I taste really good.
Oh, man, that's so
especially
gross.
As an ice cream? That's lovely.
Yeah. Maybe but some gelato?
Zalbin will be way at the end, so like people won't like, oh, they'll walk down eventually be like, oh, this Zalbin at the end. What are those nuts in there?
And they are.
And they are.
But you know what I mean.
I will say the biggest thing that made me think this was like a total like throwing all the crazy theories into an article was the time machine reference at the end.
Yes.
What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, so the last item is they're talking about the millennium clock that Lady True is building, and they say, oh, it's just a clock, but the gossip columnist is like, well, what if it's a time machine? Wouldn't that make sense? No, that's ridiculous, unless it isn't. And I think you're absolutely right, that this is, they looked through a bunch of Reddit fan theories, wrote them down as this document, and essentially are debunking them by putting them out there.
Yeah, and I hope, because we talked
about
this in the previous...
Unless the clock tower is a time machine.
Wow.
Yeah. They did joke about this on the podcast a little bit, where Craig Mazin asked David Lindelof, he said, I'm sure the Millennium Clock is something else. David Lindelof said, what are you talking about? It's just a clock. It just tells time. And Craig Mazin said, okay. And David Lindelof said, all right, actually, it also makes a beeping noise. And that was his joke. But he's clearly indicating that, like, yes, of course it does something else. Of course something else is going on with it.
What do we think, if we want to talk theories for a second? It brings Dr. Manhattan back to Earth?
I mean, that seems the most reasonable thing. Or Adrian Veidt, potentially. I mean, that's what I feel like. If he's not already in that statue, certainly that would make sense to me. Pete, what about you? What's your big theory about the Millennium Clock right now?
Well, it's got to be doing something with Louis Gossett Jr.
With Will.
Yeah.
Or do you mean the actor, with Louis Gossett
with
Jr.?
With the actor. It's doing,
with the actor.
They're putting on a production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead.
Nice. Ooh, Alex, dropping the 90s theatrical references like a high school senior trying to impress someone slightly younger.
I think it's
got to
be some... some time of like time window or something where certain points you can like walk in and out of the clock tower and it's like a time machine or pulls you in time.
What do you mean by a time window? What's a time window, Pete? Is that like a time door?
Like it's like a space baby, but it's a time window.
Okay, cool. It's good. I love, we got to get our lexicon straight. Time window.
Yeah. Also, I just want to throw this out there. You could actually walk in and out of any clock tower.
Not if it's closed.
Sure.
Wow. Good call. So a time window just allows you to get in after hours. So I think what you're thinking of is a regular window.
I think what he's referring to is a door that is unlocked. A door that unlocked is a time window, Pete. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Because you now only have a certain amount of time before it locks again.
Yeah.
That's also not how that works. Let's talk about the episode 7 promo, because this is a big one. This is a ridiculous thing to point out. I could be wrong, but I believe this was, most of the promos have been like 30 seconds long and very light on information. This was a minute long and there was tons of stuff going on here. What jumped out to you in particular?
I was surprised at first, right out of the gate, by the fact that Angela's nostalgia based sort of trip, it will continue into this next episode. I thought for sure it was like a one-off thing, and then she pops away.
She woke up.
On.
It's over. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, because in this she turns into the ceiling of a church.
That was a very cool shot. That certainly seemed like it's, I mean, maybe it's just a cut, but it certainly seems like it's starting to bring together whatever's happening with her and happening with Adrian Veidt, because that goes right into that scene with Veidt in the church or whatever room he is in. Tons of that going on there. There's a door. She seems to be looking for somebody. She's opening the door, shocked by what she sees.
But she's also on kind of like some kind of leash on her feet. Like, she doesn't look like she can go anywhere.
I think
foot leash.
It might have been a foot leash. That's a great guess. It also might have been
everybody cut foot leash.
It seemed to be whatever was around her. Oh my gosh, middle of the arm.
Ankle?
No. What's the ankle of the arm?
Forearm.
Are you talking about wrist. The word elbow? Are you trying to say the word elbow?
And wrist?
Pete, how are you guessing incorrectly?
I'm not listening to what he's saying.
Oh,
and did you,
door.
Alex, hold on a second. Did you say the ankle of the arm and you meant elbow?
Maybe. I don't know.
Wow. That was good. That was a series of crazy things that just happened. You were saying nonsense. P was echoing nonsense.
That's my main job.
Echoing nonsense.
Yeah, wow. So as we were saying, around your elbow, she seemed to have tubes coming out of it at the end of the last episode, and that seems to be whatever that is, I would
I'm
say.
I'm sorry, sir. You broke the ankle of your arm.
Yeah. Wait, what are you saying is a test arm?
My favorite pasta? Probably ankle of my arm macaroni.
I think this show is breaking my brain.
something.
Just a little bit. Why don't we move on to tweets and questions?
Wait, no, we didn't talk about anything.
I want to know what you think that is.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying that there was something around her arm. It looked like medical equipment, and it looked like that was the same sort of thing was around her arm in the promo. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
My guess on that is they're trying to control what she's envisioning a little bit more, since we talked a little bit last time about how she took all those pills and whether that was Will and Lady True's actual plan or whether it just happened that way. And maybe they're, like Dr. Manhattan, capable of seeing things and yet not affecting them. And maybe now they're trying to sort of adjust her nostalgia trip a little bit.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Pete, what else did you want to point out about the promo?
That I love how these promos are getting a little bit more intense, like a couple more eps left, and it seems like things are amping up, which is, I think, really cool, because so far, because it's been going at a certain pace, you can kind of take things in, but it feels like... It's going to get a little crazy here.
All right, let's get to the tweets and questions now. We have a couple from our Patreon Slack. First of all, there were some good comments on there that I wanted to share. This is from John George on Patreon about, and by the way, patreon.com. Yeah, patreon.com/comicbookclub again if you want to join. We'd be love to have you, love to chat. About the Cyclops, it's an interesting name which might have ties into the previous episode. The original Cyclops, Cyclopses, were linked with thunder and lightning. They also worked in darkness building weapons, which would be reasonable for a secret society. I think that's a great point. That's something that we were speculating on, why the name Cyclops, last episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I'd be curious how far back they revealed that this conspiracy started. Like, it could go back even further beyond the middle 20th century. Maybe it goes way back before that.
This is something we touched on before, but I was thinking about it a lot since we were discussing the Cyclops thing on the podcast recap. If the squid, because it does have this one cyclopean eye, is at all connected to Cyclops. And I do wonder if we're going to find out, even though Adrian Veidt does seem like a very uberman erring on the side of Nazi, Ku Klux Klan, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if he's actually part of that. I don't know if he is part of Cyclops. And I almost wonder if the designers and everybody that he hired to build this squid pushed him in a certain direction to get this cyclopean idea out there. Similar to how they accidentally used the OK sign, which is a sign of the alt-right for Cyclops, where this imagery comes through. So we might potentially find, depending on what happens with Adrian Veidt, that this was not exactly an accident on his part, but something he didn't know about. And it was a way of getting this, hey, we're putting the Cyclops out of the world, but this is a sign to our fellow racists. Look at this big thing that we're doing.
I could also see it being it's like the opposite of that, where it's like he just happened to choose that design of one eye and they're adopting it. So like a lot of conspiracy theorists take on something from the real world and are like, I know why this happened. Like QAnon, basically.
Well, so, the only thing I'd say about that, though, is that it pre-exists Adrian Veidt. We know that it goes back to the 1930s because that's when, at least, because that's when Will Reeves was encountering them and they were already pretty powerful. But that said, to your point, Justin, it could be something like 7th Cavalry adopting Rorschach, where Cyclops existed and the squid happened and potentially they're appropriating it again. What were you going to say, Pete?
Yeah.
So you're saying it's like the ramen noodle ad in Times Square right below the ball. It's like they don't do any advertising anywhere else because they know where all eyes are going to be. So they're like, we'll just put all of it there. So like that a racist group is like, listen, we'll just advertise on the giant squid that's going to appear in the middle of New York.
Mm. So are you saying ramen noodles are racist?
No, I am not.
Oh, now that's a conspiracy theory I can get behind.
I also think that the squid is just their Cyclops symbol is just the company that makes giant squids. You can mail order them and get them to delivered anywhere you want, all over the world.
By the way, have you ever tried Dog Whistle brand ramen noodles? Because they're very good.
Yeah. Yeah, they are real tasty. But yes. Don't read the back of the box. It is
It's
alarming.
Very bad. It's like a fucked up Dr. Bronner's. Talk about, here's another one. This is from Jason Williams. I'm so glad that action came back in a big bad way with Hooded Justice dropping bodies left and right. I definitely want Sister Knight to get back to the fighting, though. This was something you were asking for, right, Pete?
Well, yeah, I think, action helps drive story. And I feel like Sister Knight got to do some really fun fight scenes in the early episodes. And it was great to see. And I agree with Jason here.
It's bound to be coming back. We have this confrontation with Looking Glass coming. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe we won't. Based on the promo, we won't. But I'm hoping we get to see something with that. It's going to build to a big bang, I think.
Yeah. This is, as opposed to Watchmen, the comic book, they're very much leaning into the visual medium nature of this, the moving nature of this versus the still of the comic book, like we talked about with the first episode. So I don't think there's any way you can get away without having some sort of big fight scene before you wrap this up, you know? This is totally a mild spoiler for another TV show, The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. So don't listen for a second if you don't want to know. But this is Bandito on our Patreon Slack says, I swear if the show had a baby Yoda, I wouldn't watch anything else. So what do you think the chances are that baby Yoda will show up before the end of Watchmen?
I don't know what Bandito's talking about. You've got Lube Man. You know, Lube Man is the baby Yoda of the show.
What if Lube Man, I feel like, might be a member of the Mandalorians?
Yeah.
We'll never see him with his mask off.
Lube Mandalorian.
Whoa.
It's right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. It's right there. It's right there.
Solved it. On Twitter from @verylovelylj, after listening to the podcast today and hearing all the Superman references, I can't believe I didn't realize it until now. Will Reeves, Christopher Reeve, really Watchmen writing staff? Now, I will say, I do think that's a fun potential one that they maybe are riffing off a little bit. But what I took away from the name Will Reeves is that this is a little boy who is not abandoned by his parents, but left by his parents on his own. And I think probably adopted his own last name from Bass Reeves, who is the star of the Black Marshal of Oklahoma. That's the implication that I took from it. Did you guys take something different?
I just think, Christopher Reeves was getting a rowdy shouty there.
What?
What's that, Pete?
Just a shout out, you know?
No, that's not what you said. What did you say?
A rowdy shouty.
Oh, a rowdy shouty. Do you have a rowdy shouty before or after you walk through a time door?
You can have a rowdy shouty.
Time window. Every time you close a time window, a time door opens somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Mike Fairbanks on Twitter. I still wonder how Will Reeves is connected to Judd Crawford. I've seen all the episodes, but I must be missing something. There's actually there's a little conversation in our mentions that I'll read. So he says, just repeat it. I'm still wondering how Will Reeves is connected to Judd Crawford. I've seen all the episodes, but I must be missing something. Coach Dino says, I think a lot has to do with Senator Keene telling LG that he and Crawford kept the peace. Judd admitted to Will that the cow in the closet was his granddad's. The word legacy being used over and over again. Lady True, Agent Blake, and now Judd. And Mike says, so was Judd's murder meant to flush out the Calvary? So lots of stuff there. How do you think Will Reeves is connected to Judd Crawford? How is it connected to Senator Keene, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
I think he's been watching Angela for a long time, and so Judd is someone who he naturally investigated because of his connection to her.
Yeah. What do you take away from it, Pete? Do you have any theories?
That shit is way deeper than I'm thinking about it, and it's a little over my pay grade.
Pete.
Wow. What is your pay grade, Pete?
Yeah. I mean,
I work for comic books.
Great. I think at this point, I would say that Will Reeves is connected to Giant Crawford. He hunts Cyclops, right? He hunts the people in Cyclops. That's what he's always done. And that's probably why I took down Judd Crawford. How he knew about him is certainly another question, but it doesn't seem like, based on what we see with Judd Crawford, that this is a new thing for Will Reeves at this point, you know?
No. It seems like he's been doing this his whole life.
Exactly. All right. Before we wrap up the bonus episode, anything else you guys want to chat about? Anything else going on in the world of Watchmen?
I am very pumped for the next episode. They did a really good job of like looking at it individually and then kind of like escalating. And it's really been a fun ride, and I'm excited to see how this is going to end.
Yeah, I mean, this episode 6 is a masterpiece episode. It's one of the best pieces of television I've seen in a long time. So, like, I'm really curious how they're going to try to match or beat that, or where they take the story from here. It was such a defining episode.
Yeah, I think it's probably all downhill from here. No, I don't think that. I think I feel pretty confident they're going to stick the landing at this point. So I'm excited to see where it goes as well.
Don't jinx it, man.
Nope, that's it. It's going to be 100% great. Nothing's going to go wrong. Absolutely. all right, a couple of things before we go. As mentioned, if you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by. We will chat with you about Watchmen. Socially, you can check us out on Twitter at WatchmenWatch1, WatchmenWatch Podcast on Facebook or Instagram. Also, socially, you can come on by and hang out with us anytime you want. Is that what you're going to say,
social
Justin?
Being social. Yeah, let's meet it. Let's meet at Pete's Baskin Robbins.
And you try the last flavor. I definitely recommend that one. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. And remember, we taped this podcast 35 minutes ago.
Sorry, guys, I have to go. I have a real pain in the ankle of my torso. So I have to go check that out.